to give us hope and comfort. And God, I pray as we just continue in our journey of life, Lord, there are many things going on around us that we're not sure. We don't know what the days hold, but God, all we need to know is that you're still holding the day. And Father, that is our hope. That is our assurance to know that we're going to be okay. For that, we are grateful. And God, as we study tonight, I pray that you just quiet our minds and our hearts, allow us to understand a little bit more of something maybe coming in than or leaving than we did coming in. And Lord, may we use it to honor you and just speak about your son often. Father, through these holiday times, the world is sort of looking that direction. And God, may we take advantage of that. God, we just uplift it all to you tonight and pray this in your son's name. Amen. All right, appreciate that. Turning your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This morning we were talking about the importance of the being led by the Spirit. We're going through that again. And we saw how Paul gave the process in verses 16 through 18. And then we saw even more today about the difference, the difference of the two natures. And, you know, we live in a world where I believe one of the greatest hindrances that we have, and I look at it as pastors are doing to the church today, is some of them are preaching a doctrine of replacement theology. And that has been so detrimental to our relationship with Israel, our relationship with the Jews, because there is a large section or large segment of churches and Christians who are not concerned about Israel and the Jews because they feel they have replaced them. And so according to what I understand in Genesis 12:3, God says that he will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And I truly believe that we in America have been blessed only because we have always been a supporter of Israel. When certain individuals got into office, starting back a few years ago, a few presidents ago, Obama was his name. He literally, I didn't want you to try to guess, he literally stated in his message that the ties that America has with Israel go so deep and have been so long run that they will never be eliminated. But, and when he said but, he began to introduce what his agenda was to support the Palestine, Iran, and the Islamic Brotherhood ideals. He, from that point on, and Bill Clinton signed it over, even President Bush signed some things that did not help. There are a lot of understanding that is out there, a lot of understanding that we in America are facing what we're facing because of the leadership of America has begun to turn their back on Israel. And you think they would have understood. Great Britain did the same thing. Great Britain back before they became in 1948, when Great Britain had the ownership, and we had shared this before, had the ownership of that turf, they begin to let the Jews there, but then they also begin to favor Iran in the process. Great Britain, a powerful nation today? Absolutely not. We should learn from that, because as Great Britain began to back off of their support of Israel, they no longer now are a powerful nation. And America's going down that same road. You know, it's not the leadership, it's not the evil in our world, it's not the corruption, the sin in our world that is taking us down this road. It is the fact that we are not taking the truth of Genesis 12:3 and saying, if you don't bless them, God will not bless you. That's the truth of it. And so when God promised to one individual all of that land, they still have not owned or at least taken ownership of all the land God promised them. There's a lot of turf there that does not, at least today, Israel have borders around. So, that being said, you look at the news, you look at things, you hear some of these guys on the TVs and preachers, and the end times are here. But I want to talk a little bit about that tonight, because I think it's important that, one, we are aware of it. I think we have a younger generation that are totally clueless on what's going on around them. It doesn't concern them. It doesn't bother them. They're still living life. They're not concerned about their future. And so, as long as it stays over there, we don't have to worry about it. Well, the problem is it's going to be here because our leadership is turning their backs on Israel. And so every nation it has. Therefore, I believe we are not a powerful nation when the end times actually happen, not because, well, some people believe because the rapture takes place and that most of America will go and the leaders of America will go. Boy, I got a problem with that one. So I don't think that's good, the reason why we're not a powerful nation. Some say that in the we came from Europe. Some believe that in maybe the biblical sense that we are tied in with Europe. I don't think that's true either. I think we are not a powerful nation because our leadership turned their back against Israel. And I think we will go down before this day of the Lord all takes place. So, that being said, we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and listen, there is a huge wave of individuals coming out saying that there is no rapture. There is another wave of individuals coming out saying that we are in, we are walking through, we are about to enter into God's judgments, because, which we will look at, where they come from, some of that. And then that they're beginning to say that there is no, the second coming, you know, Christ already came. One says Melchizedek, and the second time is a babe in a manger. So there is no, that was the second coming. We're going to walk into everything. We're going to walk into tribulation. We're going to walk into millennial reign. We're going to walk into everything. God's then going to come down and restore this earth. Not destroy it. He's going to restore it. And then we're just going to live in due boys with no sin. How depressing is that? Man, as crazy as it sounds, they'll go to the same scripture text that you and I will go to say that's not true. They'll go to it and say, yes, it is. So I have conversations with individuals, and so we need to be careful because we can only go so far with this. And the interesting thing is, when you look at we're going to get there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what we find here in verse 13 is that there is going to be an event. There is going to be something that Paul is bringing to the church at Thessalonica, hope. I mean, he's bringing this to them in a realm that is bringing them some type of encouragement, some type of hope, and the understanding that those that have died, you don't have to worry about. Those that have gone on before, and that's what he says in verse 13, I will not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others that have no hope. And I mentioned that verse this morning. And it was interesting that some of the individuals, as they left through the church this morning, said, you know what? I needed to know that. I needed to hear that this morning. I've been struggling. I needed to know, and I needed to understand about where that joy comes from. Because it's hard when you go through life. It's hard when you lose. It's hard when life hits you. But when we see this verse, first of all, it's interesting that Paul did not want to accuse them, and he still wanted to be gentle to them, because he, you know, simply said, I don't want you to not understand. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I don't want you to not understand, brethren. He still called them brethren. He's still bringing them in as a little bit of a chit-chat, a little bit of a talk. And he says, concerning them which are asleep. In the scriptures, we know that asleep refers to those who are dead, those who have gone on or passed on. And so this hope that they have brings in an event. It brings in something. They had great concern about those who died, and they had great concern about, you know, how are they going to go, or where are we going to go? We know that we're waiting. In fact, if you do a study in the church at Thessalonica at this time, the Christians were quitting their jobs. They were quitting, and they were sitting in their homes waiting for this event. It was that bad. The world around them was that bad. The persecution was that bad. The struggles in life were that bad that they said this must be the time, day of the Lord. They knew about it from the Old Testament. They've studied it through the Old Testament. The day of the Lord has been mentioned in Isaiah, Zechariah. A lot of the prophets mentioned about this day of the Lord. And so they were actually waiting for it. And they had brought up questions. And Paul, you know, told them, you know, don't sit idle waiting. While you're waiting, there are things that God expects us to do. One of the key things that you and I need to walk away with tonight is we need to be watching as we're working. Not working without watching. Because that's what's happened to America today. We, you know, although I believe the leadership turning their back on Israel is our downfall of America, we as Christians, sometimes we're busy doing and we're not watching. Because when you're watchful, you're more aware. And when you're more aware, you realize that the event will come. And you also know that when the event comes, you got a lot to answer for. It may affect the way you're working. It may affect what you're doing. It should. Because when you start doing just the work and you're not watching, then you end up going and doing maybe things that aren't right, or things that you sort of put off. I got tomorrow. I got next week. I got next year. I can plan things. And you know, the day is coming. So that's a guarantee by God. But the promise that God gave in all that land was to Abraham. It wasn't to anybody else. It wasn't for anybody else. It was to Abraham. And the reason why the Jews own the land is because God said so. And God is a God of his word. So it's theirs. They're not taking land. They're not taking anything away from anybody. They're actually trying to gain what God rightfully said was theirs. And so from the one man comes the nation. Of course, we know the nation of Israel came from the seed of Adam, Abraham. And so his sons and continued on the process through Abraham. And so that nation that is developed, basically, God is God of his word. And the covenant there with Abraham was one that gave them the ground. So that being said, what we see going on today, the battles going on, the craziness that you see going on today. Kim and I were talking about this. We were watching some things this afternoon, and some of the atrocities. And, you know, it just baffles Kim. I can't believe they're so evil. I said, Kim, this has been going on since Ishmael and Isaac. We just haven't paid attention to it. They've been doing this kind of battle and fighting and cutting up and all that kind of, they've been doing that all along. We just haven't been privy to it because now we're great social media, we're right in the middle of it. So all of that, you can almost see that, man, everything's happening. Everything's going on. That's where these guys were thinking. That's what was going on. Paul sort of softens this a little bit when he talks about those who have passed on. Verse 14 is on, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. And so I think Paul, when he's teaching of this, this is an event. Because it's interesting when you hear people say that we're in the end times because we see all these things. Set your bulletin or something there in 1 Thessalonians and go to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to just look at something really quickly. And again, most of you, again, if you've done any studying on future eschatology or the future events of the church, you know what this text is all about. And this text has been labeled the Olivet Discourse, and it talks about this day of the Lord. And so what we need to understand is that when we see a little bit of a preview of my study in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, there is a huge discussion going on between Christ and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're coming to trip him up. They're coming to questions concerning the resurrection in verses 23 and following the greatest commandment in 34 and following David's Lord. And then Christ then takes the scribes and Pharisees and begins to condemn them in chapter 23. And he begins to tell them and talk to them. And then in verse 37, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and the stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So what he ended this discussion with, because we see in verse 1 of chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. They were there. They heard the arguments. They heard the discussion. And it put questions in their mind. And so these questions that Christ was explaining, he begins to explain a time or the day of the Lord. A time is coming, as he saw in verse 37 and 39. There's a day coming that, oh, Jerusalem, You are going to lie in ruins. The temple is going to be desolate. That's where they were. They were in the temple. So when he says that thou hast killed the prophets in verse 37, stoned them which sat and sent thee, how often would I have pulled you together again as children on the wings? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The temple is going to be destroyed. And so that bothered the disciples. As they begin to think through this, and it brought them to ask some questions. And we see them in verse 1 of 24. They came to the building of the temple, and Jesus said to them, see ye not all things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be overthrown down. God said that this building, this temple is going to be destroyed. And from that point on, and interesting enough, because I can't imagine their questions, basically, okay, if you destroy the temple, then how are we going to do the temple work? How are we going to worship you? How are we going to be a part of this? The disciples didn't understand it all. So from this point on, we find Christ now explaining this day of the Lord. What is interesting is when you look at what's going on, and let's do that again. We see in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Anybody ask that question in their head? Anybody wonder about the same questions? You see, the questions that they're asking are very legitimate questions, because they believed in what he was saying. They just didn't understand how it was all going to work. You and I believe that this day is going to come. We just don't know when and how it all is going to work. And so when they asked that question, Christ wanted to answer them. He does, starting in verse 4, and he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of rumors of wars, and see ye not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For the nation shall rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and divided places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. When you hear today on the news, if you looked at last weekend, that was last weekend, the weekend before, and still in Turkey, it's unbelievable, the catastrophic natural disasters that happen around our world. Dubai is completely surrounded in water. China, Brazil, Iceland, Turkey, all of these places were natural disasters. There's still flooding. There's still mudslides. There's still earthquakes. There's a volcano about to erupt. So many of these things, and then even in Central America, Haiti was underwater. Dominican Republic was underwater. All of them happening within 2 days, 3 days. So you could go to this text and say, well, there you have it. We are in the end times. Maybe. So you see that thing, do we have, and again, as it explained, do we have nations shall rise against nations in our world today? Man alive, you have to really be on top of your game to know who's on whose side. Everybody's trying to bargain chip each other. They're all trying to be on favorites of somebody, and whoever gives them the most money or the most oil or the most war thing, the sides are changing. But in my lifetime, which is only a few years, I've never seen the whole world involved in one conflict. I wasn't around for World War II. Now, I don't know how much of the world was involved in all that, but yeah, you just dated yourself, brother. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is the only time that I've ever seen the whole world, and it's all focused on Israel. You see, I look at it this way. Some people think that Israel needs America's power, and Israel needs Americans' weapons and American help. Listen, we need Israel, because that's the only promise of Genesis 12:3. We have to keep that in line. When all these things are going on and all things, these things are happening, yes, there is nation rising against nation. There are kingdoms against kingdoms. There are famines, pestilence, earthquake, and different divided places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows. If this was the sign that we are in the end times, we all missed the rapture. We're not in the end times. There's a very important event in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians that Paul described before this all comes down. So as Christ on this Olivet of Discord began to talk to them and explain to them, he goes on and says in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated and of all nations for my name's sake. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the disciples. Any of these disciples going to make it to this day? They didn't make it very far in their ministry, did they? John the Baptist, that poor guy, I don't know if he made it a year, 2 months into his ministry. As soon as Christ came on scene, as soon as we baptized Christ, as soon as he basically the forerunner of Christ, and once Christ hit the ground running in his ministry, John the Baptist was beheaded. So his ministry didn't last more than a couple years. All of these men that he's now speaking with did not make this day. They were martyred for their faith. But so when he says that you will be afflicted, they shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, he's speaking about Israel, and he's speaking about Christians. Anybody, the Jews, anybody who has the name of Christ is going to be hated. Now, we know not all Jews are saved. And to me, the best thing we can do for the Israel right now is pray for their salvation. Not the salvation that they win the war, but the salvation of their souls when they don't win. so that they can be a part of the group, part of the individuals who will be in heaven forever. And so this is all going down. This is all taking place. He's speaking about it. And verse 11 says, and there'll be many false prophets. Or verse 10, there'll be basically offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. That's not going on today, is it? And many false prophets, in verse 11, shall rise and shall deceive many. One of the most troubling documentaries I watched last week was about the American churches and the 50 most dangerous preachers in America. Because every one of them is a false teacher. And they're 50, I mean, 50 don't sound like a lot, does it? But each one of them are mega, mega huge churches with thousands of people coming to their worship services. So, yeah, there are a lot of false prophets. There are a lot of people coming in. And anybody in 1 John, it says antichrists, it's plural. So it's not talking about the antichrist. It's talking about anybody who comes and speaks false doctrine against Christ. We have that in our world so prevalent today. And so that is going on. And verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, well, that's surely going on, and love of many shall wax cold, that's going on, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this is the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for witnesses unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Christ answered their questions. When is this going to happen, and when is it going to end? He gave them things to be watching for. He gave them, these are the things that are going to go down and go on during this time. And so we understand that and we get that. And again, Revelation chapter 6 all the way through 19, that's what he is just describing. So if we see now in our world the things that are going to go on in the day of the Lord, that's why the rapture is going to be as a thief in the night. Because it can come any time. When people want to see the signs, when people want to know, okay, what can we be looking for to know when the rapture comes? There are none. There are none. Because every time you go to a text and you go to scriptures and they're giving you a little bit of an awareness, go back to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, again, in 1 Thessalonians says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord is not the rapture. The day of the Lord is the beginning of the tribulation or Daniel 70th week. So when the Lord returns, he's not returning in the beginning of the tribulation. He's returning at the end of the tribulation so that he can win that final battle, walk into the thousand-year millennial reign. So we need to push this forward a little bit in our understanding. There is... verse 3 says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them that travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That's all for the tribulation. There are no warning signs for the rapture. There are no things that we can look at and say, well, you know, things are lining up. The rapture is going to happen. We can see what's going on in our world and say, those same things are going to happen in the tribulation. So either we've got our theology totally wrong and we're walking through this, or we better be looking up. Because if we see the signs of the day of the Lord coming, the rapture happens first, and we don't know when. Because Paul says the same thing about the rapture in chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself does descend from heaven with a shout, that descending from heaven is not coming to the earth. That from shout from heaven, he's going to meet, we are meeting him. And we find that in the latter part of that, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's not it. That's not the day of the Lord. That's not the second coming of Christ. That's the rapture. So again, if we see all these signs that are going to be going on during the tribulation, that just means the rapture is close. Because there are no signs. There are no warnings. There is no, okay, you know, we better really start getting ready for this because it is really close. We could have been close 10 years ago. We don't know how much we are going to go through before the Lord calls his church home. And then, the day of the Lord begins. Daniel 70th week, the 7-year tribulation. And so there are many theories out there, and I only address this because when I see the TVs and I see the YouTube, and I'm going to tell you what, it is crazy out there. And why do I look at that stuff? Because do you know how high a percentage of church members never came back from COVID and watched that stuff? Super high percentage. Well, I didn't feel like going to church today, so I watched this guy on TV. He was good. I watched this guy on TV. Okay. So I started watching this guy on TV, and I thought, you're messed up if you say that's good. There are so many Christians, and I'm just using a broad statement of churches, period, the high percentage that didn't come back. They like sitting in their recliner with the remote in their pajamas going to church, just like some of them like doing that going to work. But what they're watching, what they're getting, is this stuff. They're getting all the, it's coming here, it's coming there. And then you add in the prosperity teachers. Then you add in the individuals who are saying, you know, we're in the end times, and if you want God to bless you, then blessing comes from giving. You need to give to me, and I just want to reach you to the TV and whack the person that's going to give, not the one that's asking for it. I want to whack the one that's listening to him. Because if he can be a billionaire, he'll be one. It's the people that are giving that I know better. That's I learned that from driving a school bus. When I drove a school bus, I wanted to walk off and smack the parents because of what was going on in the bus. Because my Johnny would never do that. Well, come here, let me show you a video I just took because I have a camera on my bus. Let me show you how good Johnny, poor Johnny, he gets picked on everything. But anyway, what we're facing in our world today is we're facing a law of just, it's like a law in Christianity. It's like we're taking all this stuff in. Many false teachers are going to come. Many false teachers are going to prepare the wrong concept. Many people are going to go to hell because they're listening to somebody tell them something wrong because they enjoy it sitting in their living room watching church. They're watching church. They're not being church. That's what happened to Christendom in America. As this nation goes, folks, so goes the church. So goes the church. Our nation is going because of the leadership turning their back on Israel. Churches are going because they're turning back on Christ. And we are following that trend, and we need to be very careful when we do it. Because this thief in the night that comes, and we know that, as Paul mentioned it again, when that trumpet sound, it's going to be at any time. We don't know when it's going to be, and we will be caught up in the air with him. Then it talks about the times and the season of verse 1. You have no need of me to write to you about. Why? Well, one, Paul didn't know. Paul couldn't write about it. He didn't know. Or did he know? He had a experience where he was translated up into the heavens. But what did God say about that moment? God buffeted him in his eyes and mind so that he could not write or speak about what he saw. See, that's why I have a problem with people who have been to heaven and back. If Paul couldn't do it, why could they? What God did they see? What false understanding did they walk away with? We need to be careful because, listen, it's so believable. You know, how could you not believe that little guy 90 minutes in heaven, that little kid who said all these things? Satan is that good. He will appear as an angel of light, according to Corinthians 4, an angel of light. Even the elect would be deceived. I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age and a time where we're being deceived. And we're being deceived by the men behind the pulpit. And that's the hard part. That's the problem. That's why the truth is so important. That's why it's important to know what you see and to understand what you study. Before chapter 5, again, we saw chapter 4. But in this section of chapter 4, it's a joyful hope. Because we know we're not going to be here for that day of the Lord. We're not going to be here for when things get worse. They're bad now, aren't they? Just look at your world. They're not over here yet, but a lot of the experts you see talking about it, they're saying it's here. It just hasn't made itself known yet. There are many of them coming through our borders, many of them military age coming through our borders. Look at the protests in our streets of America. Look what they're doing in America. And so it's here. So how much of this will we have to go through? How much of what Israel is experiencing will we have to experience on our turf? God only knows. He's the one who is running the timeline. The seasons and times, there's no need for me to even write to you about. Same thing he said in Acts. Those belong to my Father. Christ himself, I can't. They belong to my Father. I can't tell you about them. They belong to my Father. He's the only one that runs the timeline. So what do we do? How do we respond to all this? We need to realize the only way that we can respond to this, if you go back into Matthew and you see prior to what we looked at, the illustration of the 10 virgins. You see them, how they're filling their oils and getting ready for the bridegroom. That section of Scripture is where we find us. Waiting, looking for when the bridegroom comes, which is Christ. And so when we see that, and you find the one that they weren't quite ready, they went to go buy more oil and they missed it. And so the best thing we can do is to be watching, to be working, and to be praying that we can take as many people with us as we can. We don't need to worry about how bad it's going to be. We don't need to be worrying about when it's going to be. We don't need to be worrying about anything except watching. That's important because we need to be aware, knowing that it's coming. We need to be working. Christ said all the way up into the Garden of Gethsemane, I need to be about my Father's business. The hour hasn't come. When the hour came, he continued to do what his Father asked him to do. So for you and I, we need to continue that working process, continue that in our life. As we are looking into a world that need Christ, and we talked this morning, you know, that Spirit of God, all that joy, peace, long-suffering, that all is God's. We don't have it. He gives it to us so that Christ's life can be lived through us. That's what we need to be working towards. That's what we need to be going as we're watching and thinking, man, what if it would be today? What if tonight was our last night on earth? Man, for those who go and know, in fact, Thanksgiving Day, with 7 kids and 17 grandkids, Kim and I spent Thanksgiving alone. Loved it. All day, her and I, no kids. Woo! Great. And that's on live air. I hope they watch it. It was great. But we decided to go to Walmart because we needed just wanted to replant something. And Walmart parking lot was completely bare. Not one car. So we went to Lowe's. Not one car. We went to not one car. I said, did we miss the rapture or what? There's nobody here. Well, I didn't know everything was shut down for Thanksgiving. But anyway, it was a good illustration how everything's going to be completely blank. We don't know when that day's coming. But man, we need to be watching for it, working towards it, and be praying that we take as many people we can with us. That's what we need to be worried about. No matter what all the people say, no matter what all the TV guys want to talk about, that's the most important thing that we can be doing in our own life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our study tonight. God, I pray as we continue to just ponder it and think through it, that every day is a new day and an opportunity that we can truly serve you. And God, I pray as we do that, that we do that with an anticipation, the anticipation of answering for the day we just lived in. And God, I pray as we put more focus on that possibly. Give us those divine times and opportunities, and that you will put those people in our place, in our path that we can talk to and be able to converse with. And God, I just pray for the open doors as we continue to watch your timeline unfold. We continue to see how you are allowing things to go in ways that we would never expect. But God, your word stands true. And whether it be in our private life, whether it be even in this corporate church, or whether it be in our world, you are working all things for the good to those who love you. And God, I just pray as we experience that in many different ways, that Father, we'll never lose hope, we'll never lose the desire to work towards that day. And God, we're not working for the day, we're working towards the day that we will be able to stand and see you face to face. God, I just thank you for each one here tonight. I pray that we'll take this and use it tomorrow, use it in every day of our life. God, we just thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen.